to LibriVox recordings. All LibriVox recordings are in public domain. For more information and to find out how you can volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Andrea Ivan by C. Maud Montgomery. Chapter 11. The Round of Life. Anne was back in Avonlea with a luster for four Cornell scholarship on her brow. People told her she hadn't changed much. In a tone of timid, neither surprised nor disappointed, she hadn't. Avonlea had not changed either. At least, so it seemed at first. But the van sat in green gables pew on the first Sunday of her return and looked over the congregation. She saw several little changes which, all coming home to her at once, made her realize that time did not quite stand still, even in Avonlea. A new minister was in the pulpit. In the pews, more than one familiar face was missing forever. Old Uncle Abe, his prophesied girlfriend Edith, Mrs. Peter Sloan, who had thought it was to be Pope for the last time. Timothy Cotton, who, as Mrs. Rachel Lynn said, had actually managed to die at last after practicing for 20 years. And old Josiah Sloan, who nobody knew in his coffin because he had his whiskers neatly trimmed, were all sleeping in the little graveyard behind the church. And Billy Andrews was married to Nettie Hewitt. They appeared out that Sunday, when Billy, beaming with pride and happiness, showed his big plumes and his silk bride into the Harmon Baker's pew. Anne dropped her lids to her high her dances. She recalled the stormy winter night of the Christmas holidays when Jane had proposed for Billy. He certainly had not broken his heart over her rejection. Anne wondered if Jane had also proposed to Nettie for him, or if he had mustered enough spunk to ask the fateful question himself. All the Andrews family seemed to share in his pride and pleasure, from Mrs. Harmon in the pew to Jane in the choir. Jane had resigned from the Avonlea School and intended to go west in the fall. "Can't get a bow on Avonlea, that's what," said Mrs. Rachel Lynn's wife grimly. "Says she thinks she'll have better health out west. I never heard her health as poor before." "Jane's a nice girl," Anne said loyally. "She never tried to attract attention," someone said. "Oh, she never chased the boys, if that's what you mean," said Mrs. Rachel. "But she'd like to be married just as much as anybody, that's what. What else would take her out west to some forsaken place whose only recommendation is that men are plenty and money scarce? Don't you tell me." But it was not a Jane Anne gazed that day in dismay and surprise. It was at Ruby Gillis, who sat beside her in the choir. "What
Olá, Ana.